Our first reading today comes from Isaiah. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. The second reading is also from Isaiah. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, attacked all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. Then the king of Assyria sent his field commander with a large army from Lachish to King Hezekiah in Jerusalem. Then the commander stood and called out in Hebrew, "Hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Do not let Hezekiah deceive you. He cannot deliver you. Do not let Hezekiah persuade you to trust in the Lord." When King Hezekiah heard this, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and went into the temple of the Lord. He sent Eliakim, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and the leading priests, all wearing sackcloth, to the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos. They told him, "This is what Hezekiah says. This day is a day of distress and rebuke and disgrace, as when children come to the moment of birth and there is no strength to deliver them." But Isaiah said to them, "Tell your master, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid of what you have heard." And now some readings from the Christmas story. But the angel said to her, "Be not afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. On the eighth day, when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
شكت شكت هل تمر ميلا؟
اسمع لي كل من يمكنه سماع صوتي. المقاومة غير مجدية. لا تستمع لكلمات ملكك.
لا تعطي حادث ميان نسبلتهم تحادث فكات بلوغة على ماريا.
Why should not the people know what is about to happen to them? I tell all who can hear me, do not listen to your king Hezekiah. Do not trust in your God, as he says. You will surely die. Your God is not able to stand against the king of Assyria. Surrender and you will live.
And that is what happened. The people of Jerusalem sat atop of the walls, completely around the city, and listened to the messenger from Assyria. They did as we told them and did not speak a word. I don't believe they could have done otherwise. They were beyond fear. There are two types of fear. One is the fear that panics you, but it moves you to action. The other fear, it immobilizes. It keeps you from doing anything. It makes you give up. That was the fear I saw in the eyes of the people that day. And they said and they listened to the messenger from Assyria, scorn our God and curse our faith. They heard what the Assyrians had done to their own loved ones in other towns. The lucky ones were chained and led away as slaves. The others, they were tortured and killed. You don't need to know the details, but the ones on the wall knew. The ones on the wall knew what the Assyrians had done, and now they were standing at their gate. And this was all as I had seen it years before. It was all exactly as God showed me long ago. I knew this day was coming, but I knew what they did not know, and that is that they would have a tomorrow. Our King Hezekiah had done two important things. He dug a tunnel underneath the city of Jerusalem, over a third of a mile long through solid rock workers, beginning at two opposite ends, and by some miracle, meeting underground. Hezekiah's tunnel provided a water source to the city that would allow Jerusalem to survive months under siege. The people knew that. What they did not know was that that day, our King Hezekiah prayed. He went to the inner chamber of his home. He laid flat on the floor and put his face to the dirt. And with utter humiliation and desperation, he prayed for God to deliver his people. What nobody knew except for me is what happened next. I am the king's prophet. I never failed to believe that God would fulfill a simple promise to one day bring an anointed one who would be of the line of our father, David. I became known as the prophet of the Messiah. My name is Isaiah. And I alone knew what God was about to do. Would you like to know? I've had a better reaction from dead Philistines before. Let's try that again. Would you like to know?
Yes.
You've made it to the level of half-dead Edomites. But I'll tell you because my story is the story of what God has done and promises to do, and it is your story too. You cannot tell your story without telling what God has done and what God promises to do, whether you believe it or not. And maybe that's why I've come, to remind you that that is true. Or to dare you to believe it could be. All of my life, I have received visions. Visions that felt like my head would explode from all I heard and saw. And yet they were glorious, painfully glorious. My first vision came when I was a young man. I saw myself standing before the throne of God. And I felt the fear I saw in the eyes of the people in Jerusalem that day. No one stares at the face of God and lives. Who was I to be in such a place? And then I saw a seraphim fly to the altar and take a coal from the fires and come and touch my lips, but my lips did not burn. And I heard the voice from the throne say, "Your sin, Isaiah, is forgiven. It's removed. You are now clean." And then the voice said, Who will go for me and be my messenger? And I said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And he sent me, and he gave me his message, his terrible, awful message. The message about the future, a dark future. A message to the people that they had grown deaf to the voice of God, a message to the people that they had become selfish, more concerned about what they get rather than what they give, always wanting, never satisfied. It was as if there was no longer any faith in the land, no one turning to God unless they were in trouble. The Assyrian army had been amassing a great empire to the north and sending out its warriors to the neighboring nations, telling their kings that they must pay tribute if they want to be protected. Freedom and security was getting very costly. And our king paid the tribute. Other nations finally started rebelling. They formed an alliance and came together and told the king of Israel, "You must join us in resisting." And our king was afraid. And he turned to the king of Assyria for help. And that is when the second vision came. The Lord sent me to speak to the king, but to take my wife with me. I warned the king what would happen if he turned to the king of Assyria for help, that there would come a day that the king would turn on him. And I pointed at my wife and I said, "See the young woman. She will conceive and bear a son and will call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Before the child is old enough to be weaned and eat solid food, what I have told you this day will come to pass. But the king would not listen. He said, "If the Assyrians come, we will turn to Egypt for help." The king of Assyria would be a fool to stand up to Egypt. "We will be fine." That's what everyone said. "We will be fine." My third vision was the strangest. God told me to take off all of my clothes and strip bare and walk the streets of Jerusalem and preach. And so I did. I walked naked in the streets of Jerusalem, telling the people that if they continue on this course, the day will come when the Assyrians will come for them and strip them bare and lead them away. At first they listened, but then, do you know how embarrassing it is to take off all your clothes and have people stare at you? But do you know what's more humiliating? To take off all your clothes and have no one stare at you. To have them ignore you and pay you no attention. And God said to me, I understand. I know what it is like to be ignored. I have given my people everything, and they only turn to me when they're in trouble. So tell them, trouble is on the way. That's when the king of Assyria, of Israel, made a fatal mistake. Sargon, the king of Assyria, suffered defeat in several battles. The king of Israel took this to be a sign that the empire was weakening. So he built his army and readied them for battle. He found prophets who would tell him that this was God's will. The time had come for us to fight back. The prophets told the king what he wanted to hear. That sort of defeats the purpose of having a prophet. The Assyrians swept down and decimated every town and village within 100 miles of Jerusalem. When you no longer listen to prophets, you become your own God. Now they surrounded Jerusalem. And fear clung to the people like a winter coat. They were silent. But they anticipated what was about to befall them. Sometimes the anticipation of a dreadful thing is as bad as the thing itself. The people remained silent, but their fear screamed out. And I had seen this day years before. And God sent me to Hezekiah to tell him that the Lord has answered his prayer and that he will deliver his people. And he did. That night, when the Assyrians retreated to their camp, while they were asleep, an angel of the Lord came and struck down every Assyrian soldier, 185,000 men. The king of Assyria went back to Nineveh, and days later, his own sons struck him down. It was the beginning of the fall of the great empire of Assyria. That morning, the residents of Jerusalem opened the city gates, and they walked through the Assyrian camp, stepping over the dead corpses. They had been saved, and they knew that this was God's doing. This did not happen by anything they could have done. They knew. They had given up and had been at the end of their rope. And then God showed up. Why is it, I wonder, that sometimes we have to get to that place before we can really see what God can do? Why is it that we have to wait until we get to the place where we know we can do nothing to change what threatens our lives, where we are helpless, where we're afraid? Oh, it doesn't have to be. We can start in that place. We can start by turning to God and trusting in Him, because that's the one thing that nothing on this earth can ever take away from a human being. No one can remove that option to trust in God. My story is God's story. My name, Isaiah, means the Lord saves. The Lord rescues. And when we but turn to Him, He gives us a future. He gives us a tomorrow. And that is your story. Every generation faces its own barbarians at the gate. Every person in their lifetime faces that threat, faces that fear, where they have nothing of their own resources with which to stand against it. Everyone does. But our greatest threat is inside of us. Our greatest threat is when we refuse to turn to God, or when we turn to God only to give us what we want. There's never a future in that. There's never a future in a story of a person getting only what they want. God's story is the only one that lasts forever. And when we trust our story with God's story, we will always have a tomorrow. That day, standing before the king, I pointed at my wife. And I said, she will conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. And I did not even understand the sign myself until she gave birth to our second son. And I held him in my arms. And then God showed me. A child can do nothing for you tangibly. A child cannot provide for you, offer you security, change your situation. All you can do with a child is hold him. All you can do with a child is make room. All you can do with a child is to love the child. And that's what God said to me. Before my people look for what I can do for them, I just wish they would make room for me. I wish they would be willing to hold me. I wish they would be willing to love me and then discover all that I can do for them. That's the dream I saw. In every generation, God comes as a child and simply invites people to open up their lives to Him, to be willing to let go of their own hopes and their own plans, and to trust their lives to God. To love him as a baby. I saw that dream long ago. I still see that dream.